Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Number two. And I want to read you one verse. I'll let you just remain seated. And I've used this verse and I've used some of these thoughts in times past. But we've been dealing with basic Bible doctrines over the past few months or over the past few weeks. And we're going to pick up on the doctrine of salvation tonight. The Bible said this in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Father, I pray that you'd add a blessing to the reading of your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we've looked at the doctrine of sin, and we've looked at the doctrine of the Son, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of God. We just finished up last week looking at the fall of man and the doctrine of sin. So I thought it would be fitting to come right in behind that and deal with the doctrine of salvation. The doctrine of salvation. Matter of fact, I sent the devotion out today, and Brother Brian wrote the one for today, Brother Brian Cardwell, and it was on the new birth or being saved and knowing the Father, and Miss Maddie responded back to that. I sent it not only to everybody in our share office, but I sent it to our college and career group text and to several other people. But anyway, she responded back to that, and I'm paraphrasing what she said. Here's what she said, though, was, I'll never forget the day that the Lord saved me. Amen. And can I say something to you tonight? I sure am glad for the day that God saved me. Amen. I'll never forget that day. There may be a lot of things in this life that I forget, but I don't believe that I'll ever forget July the 20th, 1994, when the Lord saved my soul. Amen. I remember getting lost that night. Can I say that again? I remember getting lost that night. I remember sitting on the pew thinking, man, I'm going to die and go to hell sitting right here on this pew. But boy, I sure am thankful that God didn't let me die and go to hell, but God allowed me to be saved by His glorious grace tonight. Amen. So the doctrine of salvation tonight. And I like what the writer of Hebrews said. It is so great salvation. And can I say this to you tonight? Salvation is so great tonight. Amen. It is so great tonight. Let me give you a few reasons tonight, and then we'll go home. Number one, I would say salvation is great because of its purpose tonight. Salvation is great because of its purpose. The word salvation has numerous meanings, but here is a few. To save from, to deliver, and to preserve. The word is not always used in a spiritual sense. However, these three definitions describe the full spiritual meaning of the word salvation. The purpose of salvation is to save us. It is to deliver us, and it is to preserve us tonight. Amen. I sure am glad that I have been saved and I've been delivered, and I sure am glad that I am preserved in Him tonight by the Holy Spirit of God. In salvation, the Lord saved us and delivered us from the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23 teaches, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm glad that salvation delivered us from the penalty of sin. He saved us and delivered us from the power of Satan and from the bondage of sin. Amen. What sin used to have rule over my life no longer has a rule over my life. In Romans 8:2, we read this, for the law of the spirit of, or for the law of the spirit of life is Christ Jesus, or for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. How was it? It was in Christ Jesus. Jesus. John 8:36, we read this: "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." It's great because of its purpose. It has delivered us from the bondage of sin. Salvation not only saves and delivers us from our sins, but also makes us overcomers through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is brought to pass by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. I sure am glad that the Bible says this: to make no provisions for the flesh. And he also goes on to say that with every temptation that God makes a way of escape. Amen. Because of salvation tonight, it's great because of its purpose tonight. Its purpose was to keep you out of hell. Its purpose was to keep you living right and doing right in a world that is not doing that. It's great because of its purpose. Number two tonight, it's not only great because of its purpose. Salvation tonight is great because of its person. Salvation tonight is great because of its person tonight. Oh yeah, stay with me. It is of the utmost importance for us to understand that our salvation isn't neither a plan or a program, but in a person tonight. It's not in a church tonight. It's in a person tonight. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 John 5:12. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Here's what the Bible said in John 1:12. "But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Here's what he said in Acts 4:12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Salvation is only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not attained by any works or anything that we can do within our flesh. Titus 3:5 said this: "Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." What did he say in Ephesians 2:8-9? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Hear me, and hear me well. I am not saved tonight because I'm standing here preaching. I am not saved tonight because I hold a King James Bible in my hand. I'm not saved tonight because I'm in the house of God. I'm not saved because my daddy was a preacher and my grandfather was a preacher and my great-great-grandfather was a preacher. I'm saved tonight because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not in us. It's in him and him alone. If we make it to heaven, we'll go through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll go by the way of the cross, or we will not go. Salvation is great tonight because of the person. It's great because of the person. It's not in Mother Mary. Somebody holler amen. It's not in Joseph Smith. It's not in Buddha. It's not in Allah. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh yes, I thought about this. It's great because of the person. Not only is Jesus the only person whereby we can be saved, but he is also the only person where we can come into the Father. He's the only way for us to get to the Father tonight. John 14:6. "He is our only great high priest." Hebrews 4. "He's the only mediator between God and man." 1 Timothy 2:5. "I say this to you, I sure am glad for the person of salvation tonight." You will not have peace with God without him. You will not have access to God without him. It's all through his Son tonight. Amen. Well, number one, it's great because of its purpose. Number two tonight, it's great because of its person. Number three tonight, I'm moving quickly. Salvation is great because of its planning. tonight because of its planning. I am a planner. I like to plan things. If you go back there and open up my computer, and if you've got the password to get in it, you can look into my Google Calendar, and if you look into my Google Calendar, you'll see that my days are planned out in my Google Calendar. I like to plan things. I'm not a spare of the moment type of person. Now, every once in a while, we have to run spare of the moment, but we waste a lot of time by not planning. If you'll plan your day and plan to read your Bible in your day and plan to pray in your day, amen. I'm telling you, I said this a while ago, probably the person that's helped me more with planning than anybody is Pastor Kevin Broyhill. Man, he's helped me so much with that. He told me, he said, you make sure in your calendar that you have family time planned into it. He said, when somebody calls you and says, preacher, it's Thursday afternoon, can I come by and see you at the church? You say, no, I'm sorry. Already I've got something on my calendar. You say, well, preacher, that's the only time I can come. If it's life or death, I'll talk to you. But if my family is already on my calendar, I'm sorry. You're going to take a back seat to them. You say, preacher, what's your priorities? God, my wife, my children, and then everything else. Amen. The planning of salvation. Hey, look, Calvary was not an afterthought to God. It was God, whenever Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God didn't get upset and twiddle his thumbs and go, oh, no, what am I going to do now? Think about this. There are those who say God had not planned his death on the cross, but that something went wrong and the death of Christ on the cross was an accident. God in his foreknowledge knew before he ever created man that man would sin and need a Savior. So Christ's death at Calvary was planned in the mind of God before he created the world. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 23 says this, Christ was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 20, again we see Christ as the spotless Lamb. The Bible said this, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 3 or chapter 13, verse number 18. The Bible said this, he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Can I say something to you tonight? Salvation is great because it was planned out in the mind of God. Oh, yes, tonight. Here we see that God sent his son Jesus to the earth to die for sinners. While Christ was here upon the earth, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem in Luke 5, standing in Pilate's judgment hall. Just as Pilate was about to sentence Jesus to be crucified, Jesus said this in John 18:37, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I unto the world. You know what Jesus is saying right before he goes to Calvary? He says, this is the reason I came. Jesus just didn't come to the earth to heal the sick and to make the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear. Jesus just didn't come to the earth to pray on the mountain of transfiguration. Jesus just didn't come to the earth to show us in Matthew 4 how to deal with temptation. Jesus just didn't come to the earth for those things. All of that was just a benefit of him being here. The reason Jesus Christ came to this earth was to die for you and to die for me. It's great tonight because of its planning. In other words, God, sitting in heaven one day, looked down through the scope of time, and he realized you and I would be born. He knew everything thing that we would do, when we would do it, and how we would do it. And even though he knew that we would fail him, and even though he knew that we would miss the mark on a daily basis, he still allowed his only begotten son to go to Calvary and to die for our sins. Man, what a plan that God had in planning salvation. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be teaching tonight, but I think I'll preach a little while. What a plan, man. What a plan. What a plan. God knew everything that would happen. Every time that we would miss the mark, Brother Josh, and yet he still let his son come to earth, die for our sin. It's great because of its planning tonight. Number whatever, its salvation is great because of its price. It's great because of its price. Never has a greater price been paid for a cheaper merchandise. Can I say that again? That'll hurt your feelings if you let it. Never has a greater price been paid for such a cheap merchandise. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you what we all are. We know this. We, not you, we're just all sinners that deserve hell. That's all we are. Amen. Our righteousness is as filthy rags tonight. A matter of fact, I heard somebody say one time, I read it somewhere, I can't remember, but they talked about the worth of the human body. If once it's all said and done, it was just a few cents that they said that a human body was even worth. You said, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying to you tonight. It was great because of the price that was paid for our salvation. Our salvation costs God giving his son. It costs Jesus Christ leaving the bosom of the Father, leaving heaven and all of its splendor, and coming to a wicked sin field, God denying, Christ rejecting a world and showing them grace. It cost him going to Calvary, dying, and shedding his blood to pay the price for salvation. There's at least two reasons why Christ had to die and his blood be shed. Watch this. It's great because of its price. He had to die because the wages of sin is death. He had to die because the wages of sin is death. Notice when Jesus died, God turned his back so that when I die, he can receive me face to face. Jesus cried, I thirst, as he was hanging on the cross, so we could drink the water of life freely. When Christ died, he died in darkness so that you and I could see the light that shineth into our life. Can I say something to you? He died because the wages of sin is death. It's a great price because of that, but Jesus also died and had to die to shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Nowhere in the Bible does it say he spilled his blood. Nowhere. But it says he shed. Listen to this, 1 Peter 1. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Amen. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. It's great tonight because of its price. It's great because of it. Can I tell you something else? Salvation is great tonight. I'm preaching fast, all right? It's great tonight because of its power. Salvation is great because of its power tonight. Oh, yeah, the power of salvation tonight. I got to thinking about this. I got to thinking about the transforming power of salvation. The transforming power of salvation. The Bible said this in 1 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. We are not to judge any man's salvation, but I do believe that when a person is saved, he will show evidence of his salvation by a change in his lifestyle. When God saves a sinner, he takes him off of dope and puts him on hope. God takes him out of the mire and puts him into the choir. Real salvation changes a harlot into a housewife, a drunken daddy into a decent daddy. It changes a pervert into a convert. It will take a person out of the hell holes of the world and put him in a place of worship. Can I say this to you? Immediately after being saved, men quit beating their wives and their children. They quit spending their paycheck on alcohol and drugs and prostitution and gambling. They come home sober to enjoy a peaceful weekend with their family and their children in the house of God. Salvation is great because of its power tonight. Because of its power. Brother Rodney and I was talking about an individual that got saved a while back the other day. And Brother Rodney said, man, he said, you just don't understand the difference that's in that person. You just don't understand. You don't understand the way that they used to talk. You don't understand the life that they used to live. Boy, I sure am glad tonight that God can take the vilest of sinners and wash them in his pure blood and make them white as snow and change their life. You know what Paul said? Paul said that God changed him and he was the chief sinner. Paul said there was never another sinner as bad as he was, and God changed him. It's great because of its power. Salvation's great tonight, and I'm done, because of its provisions. Because of its provisions. You know, when I got saved, I knew I was getting saved, but I really didn't know what I was getting. Are you with me? I knew I was getting saved, but I really just didn't know what all I was getting. I remember in 2016, in July, the end of July of 2016, the church gave me my first vehicle, and it was that white Ford truck that the church bought me. And I remember after everybody left that evening, Brother Brian was still here. And man, I was talking about it. Me and him rode up the road in it. And he said, hey, he said, look, push this button right here. And he pushed the button, and we rode on up the road a little ways. And I said, well, Brian, I said, there's cold air blowing through my seat. And he said, yeah, that's what I pushed. I said, well, what is that? He said, it's air conditioned seat. And I said, it's what? He said, it's air conditioned seat. Best thing that's ever been invented, Brother Tim. Man, back when I was fishing a lot, I'd pull up to the dock on the boat and I'd hit the remote start on that truck, and it was 90 degrees outside with that black leather interior in that truck. I'd walk up there and get in it. Man, I'd be hot, and them seats, they'd just about frostbite you. They were so cold. I said, boy, that's nice. We went on up the road, and he showed me four or five other things that he would do. It blowed my mind. I knew I had a truck, but I really didn't know what all I had. The day I got well, amen. We might have sort of take out recess and shout a little while tonight. The day I got saved, I knew I escaped hell. But, son, I really just didn't realize what all I got that day. Oh, yes. I didn't realize what all I got. I thought about this. In salvation, we have everlasting life in John 3. We have eternal life in John 10. We have abundant life in John 10:10. In salvation, we have light. We no longer walk in darkness, but we have the light of God living in us. In salvation, we have liberty. We no longer live in sin's bondage, but we are set free according to Romans 8, 2 Corinthians 3, and John 8. I thought about this. In salvation, we now have hope according to 1 Corinthians 15. We have a help in John 14. We have a home in John 14. In salvation, we have everything that we need to make it along this journey here on earth until we make it to glory one day, according to 2 Peter 1. In salvation, we have a cup that runneth over in Psalms 23, a life that's more abundant in John 10, peace that passeth all understanding in John 4, joy unspeakable and full of glory in 1 Peter 1. We are more than conquerors through Christ our Lord who saved us. In Romans 8, I say it's great tonight because of the provisions that He's given us. I thought about this. Come start playing, so I'll hush. I thought about this. It's great because of its provisions tonight. Have you ever heard this statement made? I've heard some of y'all make it. I'm sure you've heard it made. I just don't know how I'd make it without the Lord. I just don't know how I'd make it without Him. I just don't know how I'd make it without the Lord. I don't know how I'd make it without the sweet Holy Spirit just every once in a while settling around me and loving on me. Can I tell you something? That's one of the provisions of Christ. He says it's expedient for me to go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. He goes on to say in John that that Comforter is the Holy Spirit, or which is the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you one of the provisions of salvation tonight. It's a sweet Holy Spirit living in our life. Amen. It's a sweet Holy Spirit living in our life. I thought about where it talks about over there in the New Testament, where it talks about when we're praying with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's times when I'm so burdened and I'm so overwhelmed, either with the cares of this world or with a storm in life or with just a simple heartache that's come our way. There's been those times that, Brother Josh, I fell on the altar before God and all I could say was, "Oh God, oh God." I didn't even have the words to say. Oh, but because of the provisions of salvation tonight, the sweet Holy Spirit came down to where I was at and escorted those groanings back up to the sun and said to the sun, "Here's what Jonathan's trying to say." And the son went to the father on my behalf. I sure am glad tonight that we've got the provisions of God tonight because of salvation. He said, "I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." There's never been a time I've laid my head down that God had met every need that I had. It's the provisions of salvation tonight. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a great, great, great salvation tonight. It's great tonight. It's a great salvation tonight. If my Pa Barker was here, he'd say, "Ain't God good?" It's great tonight. It's great tonight. Father.